Questions. Ah, such sweet agony. To not know things which we desire deeply to be privy of. The Big Bang. What happens after you die? Extraterrestrial life. All these questions and more will not, in any way, be answered here. But I got another guest, and we're going to have a conversation about them and life and what have you. So welcome, mystery guest.
Thank you.
So before we get into it, I got today's sponsor. Everyone's favorite part of the show. No, of course not. But today's sponsor actually is Agartha, the Inverted World, where hiking uphill means nothing. So thank you, Agartha, for sponsoring this episode. Okay. So I got the opening question, the one that some people are exhausted by, but I don't really care. I always like to ask, how's your day today?
It's pretty good. Can't complain. Yeah, I woke up, felt pretty good.
Ready for the day? Awesome. That's the best way to start it.
Yeah, exactly.
Start waking up feeling good and you're good for the rest of the day. Yeah.
Exactly. You can't beat that. So yeah, I just went to work. We moved a bunch of stuff around. So it's pretty relaxed. Relaxed vibe.
So when you say we, is that you and me? For the sake of the audience and for myself, I guess I'm curious. What exactly is it that you do?
I do landscaping and snow removal currently.
Nice.
Yes.
Not that much snow nowadays?
No.
It warmed up a bit.
We went out like 2 days ago or the day before yesterday, whatever it was.
Yeah, when it came down. Yeah.
Yeah, we did that real quick, but it's pretty slow this season. So, you know, it's...
So far.
So far.
So this podcast, I think, will be released in February. So we'll see what happens between now and then, at the time of recording, because we're recording this in January. So... Because I always refer to 2013. I'm like, it's going to happen again. There's going to be an ice storm that's just like devastates like the entire landscape that we live in. But hopefully not, obviously.
It's an eventuality.
I guess. Yes.
As long as we have... The snow will come.
This is Canada. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So you were currently doing landscaping. What specifically were you working on? Today
it was just kind of reorganizing stuff. So we had a bunch of rocks and stones and stuff outside, so we needed to make space for the park the trucks. So we moved get some lifting in, get the blood pumping, all that stuff. Good.
Just get
hands
jacked.
On, you know, exactly.
Why pay for a workout when you can work as a landscaper?
Exactly.
I've never understood it. No,
it's
obviously.
It's one stone, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You get paid to work out. It's exactly. Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a scam. You're scamming.
Yeah,
your boss.
Boss.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Doesn't even know about it.
Yeah. Okay, so obviously some people can be exaggerated or whatever, but it's like a tradition of human nature to have crazy work stories, right?
Yes.
So is there any that you can think of off the top of your head?
Crazy work stories. I'm sure there's a few. Let me think.
That aren't too like gratuitous.
Okay.
Doesn't necessarily have to be this job, but just one of those things.
I'll open up the archives.
Sure. Dive into your mind, start.
Right in.
Yeah.
What has happened?
Checking the books.
There's gotta be something.
Checking the annals of your history.
Exactly.
Seeing what you got going on.
Nothing's coming up.
Well, okay, what about just a crazy story?
Crazy story?
Yeah. What's the latest crazy thing that's happened to you?
Latest crazy thing?
You ever getting like a skerfuffle driving or anything? Or?
Well, there's this one time. This is not recently. This is like
five,
maybe 6 years ago.
Okay, yeah, not recent at all.
This is back when I was in uni, and we're driving on the highway to the bar, and then we just see headlights coming. We're on the highway, so we see headlights coming towards us
on
the other lane. So someone's driving the wrong way on the highway past us on the left-hand lane, like the passing lane.
Oh, my God. It's terrifying.
Yeah,
so
it was pretty scary.
we should assume it was just a British person, right? It wasn't a drunk driver.
Yeah, British, Japanese. We can't assume drunk driver every time.
But still, that's insane. Was it nighttime if you're driving
it
in the car?
It was nighttime, yeah.
Was it early evening or was it like 2 in the morning?
It was on the way there. So
yeah.
It was probably around like 10:30.
I gotta say, I've never seen that. I've seen like blown up cars and stuff on the highway, and that's terrifying, but I've never seen someone just going the opposite direction. On the highway, it's like, sure, maybe like on a side street and you just honk at them, but like, that's wild. How are you with driving? Do you drive a lot?
Because
of your business?
Because I live in Saga.
Yeah, the Saga.
Saga, you know?
Yeah.
Soggy pants. Soggy
people might be able boys. To pinpoint your location now. No, just kidding. No. Everyone knows that this is the GTA, so people know I. Yeah, it's the all the cities there. Yeah,
you pull from different parts of the GTA.
I pluck people wherever I can get them. Yeah, yes. Yeah. I got an American once. I was proud of that. I might have gotten two Americans so far, but
okay. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
You get people where you can find them. You know how it is.
Yeah. You just go on Kijiji. It's like, hey, you want to be on a podcast?
Yeah. No. I think I've had a relation with everyone that I've met. The most recent one is the person who I'm starting another podcast with now.
Right.
Where I just met him, like, through a connection. It was like, oh, hey, this person, like, has similar interests to you. And I was like, okay. And yeah, so just through someone else, we started talking. But otherwise, I've known the people I've talked to so far. So it is still, like, an established connection before things begin.
They have connections, and then they have connections.
It starts to branch out. Yeah. It creates a network of its own.
It's like a wildfire of it. Sorry, Australia. Sorry.
Yeah. Too soon. Oh my god. Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, what are you gonna do?
I can't take it back.
Yeah. No. But yeah, we've known each other a while. How long have we known each other? Since grade 11 or 12? What do you think?
Grade 11 or 12.
That seems right to you.
Yeah. Like 10 years.
That is weird, eh? Yeah, it's 2020 now. That's messed up. Are we the same age or are you a year younger? I'm 93.
92.
Oh, you're 92? Oh, yeah, so you're older. Grandpa over here. Nice.
Let me tell you some stories there.
Yeah, listen here, Skipper. Yeah, when I was your age, we had to climb Mount Everest every day to get to school. Yeah.
We had a stick and a can. Sure
yeah, and that was it. Yeah. Sometimes a dead body. Sometimes you get to poke. Bodies. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But yeah, so from the same city, but not the same school.
Yes.
We met through a connection. Speaking of connections, exactly. That's how it happens. Yeah, that's kind of funny. And the weird thing, too, is like our similar connection, and I don't name names on this podcast, but the way that we first met.
Everyone's Voldemort.
It wasn't. I had known him since grade 5 because we went to the same elementary school, but then we never hung out. So the only reason I started hanging out with him is because I started hanging out with a female friend of ours. Who you could probably guess just from me saying that, but she, yeah, and then we just met because, like, I posted on Facebook that I got my G2, and then she commented that. It's like, oh, that's so cool. I was like, yeah, like, want to hang out? She was like, sure. So it's kind of funny, because it's like, I was, like, one of the first people to get a G2.
Oh, yeah?
Because it was like, I have an April birthday, so I'm, like, an early child, and I just did the G1 and failed a bunch of times, but then the second I could do my G2, like, I took the class, so it only took 9 months instead of a year to do your G2, and then I did my G2 and instantly got it. And then I was one of the first ones on the road.
You're ready for summer. The timing's good.
Yeah. It worked out. I got a few months ahead of time so I could talk to people, make some friends, and then the rest is history, literally.
Drive everyone around?
Yeah.
Like, you're the guy.
So I know, like, I'm interviewing other people, but I don't think I ever told this yet on the podcast, but, like, right when I got my G2, that was the exact situation. I was driving everyone around, and then there was one time when I was at my high school parking lot, and I was driving around, and the car was full. It was a 7-seater, like, minivan that I was driving, my mom's van. And I forget what happened. I think I went over a curb or something, or maybe I bumped someone, but, like, so gently. I was moving so slow that, like, it didn't cause anything. The second it happened, everyone's like, oh, fuck this round, and everybody jumped down and just abandoned me. I was like, what the fuck kind of move was that? It was like, first off, I didn't do anything. And second off, wow, way to show you true colors. Like, everybody just disappeared. It's like a bunch of assholes.
Oh, yeah. Man.
But this is ridiculous. It's like, that's the shenanigans that happens, you know? Everybody just scuttles in your car because they want to be part of something cool. And then the second something happens, they just split. It was nuts. But that was the only time that happened. I'm a good driver.
Where's the faith? Where's the trust?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, come on. Some etiquette, you know? It's passenger etiquette.
Yes.
I take you for the ride. You just stay the whole time.
You need to announce when you're ejecting yourself out of the car.
Exactly, yeah. You don't just be step.
Leaving the premises.
Yeah. You ever seen Lady Bird? Or have you heard of that movie? That's like the first scene of that movie. It's just the protagonist literally is like arguing with her mom who's driving, and then she's like, fuck this, and just jumps out of the car while it's moving. Yeah.
That's one way to end an argument.
It's one way to do it, yeah. So speaking of assertive actions, like jumping out of cars, would you consider yourself aggressive, assertive, or passive? Ooh. Obviously, other people know us more than ourselves, but everybody's a little self-reflective and, you know, self-aware of their own situation. Okay. So in your own eyes, looking back at your life, would you consider yourself?
I think when I was younger, I tended to be passive, but I wanted to, like, I wanted to be assertive, but I would chose to be passive out of, you know, fear or whatever, or not. Yeah. Just trying to get. I like getting along with people.
Yeah.
So if I like kind of, I thought like if I've always kind of forced my idea or plan.
If you change the script, people wouldn't like you.
Yeah, wouldn't like me. It's like, you know what? Like, somebody's gonna do it anyways. So thinking back on that, it's. I wouldn't say I'm aggressive. I've like, you know, I have moments where I can be aggressive.
You can lift rocks. That usually lift does rocks. The trick. Yeah, working out brings out the testosterone.
Exactly.
Guys.
Yeah. But yeah, I do notice that when I get more into an exercise, I can get more. It gets. It pumps it into you.
Yeah, you can enhance the animal attribute, I guess. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess you're expressing. I kind of see it as you're kind of expressing yourself physically in a way too.
Yeah.
If you want to come from that angle.
Like yeah. So I guess, do you have like physical hobbies? Like, do you play hockey or anything, or do you run?
Basketball a decent amount back when I was younger, but I like martial arts.
Oh really? Really? Wow! I didn't know that.
I haven't been practicing. I was doing jujitsu for a little bit.
Wow! Which one's jujitsu? Is that the one where you're close together?
Yeah,
like it's all about like grappling. It's like being a snake. You just gotta lock the person
it's
in.
Like being basically you're like, you know, wrapping each other around.
You gotta contort the person. The other person knows jujitsu, but like, what if you're the only one who knows it in a fight, like a street fight?
Like,
the other person would know.
You just basically.
Yeah, you just gotta lock them in so they can't move. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, honestly,
it's extremely. It's the most. Physically, I guess exhausting would be the word, exercise I've ever did, like physicality. Like during that class, I had to go to the washroom, puke.
Oh Jesus. Yeah. Like, so it got you. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just so exhausted, but it was so fun at the same time.
Oh, it was worth it. Yeah.
Addictive.
Well, so you don't continue, I guess, because you got to pay for classes and stuff. That's
I'm still signed up. I just need to. I haven't been there since mid-December. It's just got. Okay. I got busy and.
Well, holiday season.
Holiday season. So I should be. And I got sick this week, but I'm feeling better, so I probably go back on Monday.
Okay. Nice.
Enough, yeah.
Nice. So you're right in the middle. How long have you been doing it?
Not very long.
Okay, so it is beginning. Yeah.
I'm a beginner.
Nice.
I get submitted a lot, and it's some weird things happen to you. I got put into a thing called electric chair, which basically the guy like splits your, or girl, she could split your groin, so she stretches her legs out.
Oh, so you,
so your groin is being stretched. Like, what? When that was happening to me?
Yeah.
And I was like, what is going on? Like, this is so strange. Like, you're like... friggin' kind of tearing me like a piece of paper.
Yeah, that's how you do it, right? Right through the middle.
Yeah,
oh.
Like four split.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah, the guy was a nice guy. He did. He looks very unassuming, but you know, it's very skill based.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily about your physicality, which it does help. But
it's pressure points, right? It's all about it's the same thing with like an alligator. Yeah, if you grab an alligator by the jaw, it can't open its mouth.
Yeah,
it has extremely strong downward force, but there's no upward force, so you just grab with your hand and they wouldn't be able to do anything.
A lot weaker, yeah, because I used to watch Steve Irwin's Crocodile Hunter. You ever watch that?
Yeah. You learn jiu-jitsu from him, because he grabs onto the alligator and starts spinning with him.
He's the guy, he jumps on alligators, crocodiles, snakes, and he can, you know...
He'll befriend any animal.
Just needs a little bit of duct tape, wrap their jaws up, and you're good.
Yeah.
That's why you gotta carry duct tape. It's the universal fixer-upper.
Yeah, duct tape and a towel. And then that's the universe's, and that's all
you need.
Yeah, you're good.
Travel, duct tape, and the towel.
Oh, yeah, beautiful. it seems kind of threatening, but it's fine, it's fine.
Don't mess with this guy. He's got duct tape and the towel.
Well, so what made you choose jiu-jitsu out of any of the other martial artists' techniques?
I've actually, because you can go all out, but I do like the other ones. Like, I do like the, you know, boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai.
Yeah, nice.
So for jiu-jitsu, answer your question. Jiu-jitsu, you can go full out because you're not striking. You won't get concussions. So it's about submitting.
Yeah.
So the person will submit. They'll choose to submit. So they'll tap, right?
Yeah.
And they'll let you know that's enough for me.
Yeah.
This round, you can go again. So you can go full out. Whereas if you're boxing, you can't. You know, you can't just you go full out. You're gonna knock somebody out, give someone a concussion, brain damage. That's not fun.
But could you not like break someone's ligament accidentally or joint?
If you go too
jiu-jitsu?
Far.
Yeah.
So the place I'm going to, you can't do, like beginners can't do leg locks. Because apparently, the guy was telling me that you
it's
can't.
A strong muscle, thighs.
Yeah,
if you leg lock someone,
your foot and all that stuff too. Apparently, it doesn't hurt until, you won't notice it break until it breaks. It doesn't hurt that much. Whereas different parts of your body, I guess your upper body.
It tells you beforehand.
Yeah, yeah. There's more, I guess, sensitivity at some point. So that was a little scary. So I was like.
Yeah, it's good to know. I mean, I've seen a lot of videos online of people who seem like they're fine, and then they step down on their leg, and it just splits in half falls over. Yeah,
that's nasty.
Broken legs on YouTube are not fun. Or I don't even know how many are on YouTube, but just the videos in general. Very scarring. Yeah, just seeing that shit. But that's good. That's awesome. I mean, it's one of those things. It's like, I don't know how much my opinion has changed since then. I don't think that much, but it's like, there are certain things that just, like, I don't assume I'll have, but I would like the idea of having, like, if there were no limits. It's like, I would own a Tesla. Yes. I would own a Pixel, the phone.
Okay.
And I would do jujitsu.
Pixel 3.
Wow, so you got two out of the three dreams that I have. Wow, now all he needs is a Tesla. Jeez.
Tesla.
That's
wild.
Okay.
Which Tesla in particular? You want the Cybertruck?
No idea. No idea. Yeah, I'll take that too. Yeah. I'm one of the few that thinks it's gorgeous. It's apparently cool. Completely split. It's controversial. Half the people think it's ugly, the other half think it's awesome.
It's just so outrageous. But it's outrageous. Yeah. I think it's outrageous in a good way. Because I see the
utility of it.
And it looks like it's like, can, you know, it looks...
It looks like it can last. Like, you could throw that at a mountain and it'd be fine.
You just drive out of the, you know, into the nuclear wasteland, you're good.
Like, yeah, exactly. Or just shoot up into Mars and just shoot land on Mars.
Yeah, it looks like it's multi-purpose, ready for...
Yeah. So what would you want?
Tesla out of... For cars and stuff? Or?
Yeah. Maybe in general, but yeah, general? Like any Teslas or anything.
Say Teslas. The Cybertruck does look cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe the Roadster.
Which one's that?
That's like the sports car.
Okay, yeah.
It's like the fastest commercial car, apparently. Last time I checked, it was like, I think it was like 0 to 60 in like 2.1 or 2 seconds or something like that. I don't know the exact numbers.
And you go blind in 1 second.
You go blind
like
in 1 second.
If you accelerate too fast, yeah.
Exactly.
You just start to see blue. And,
fuse into the chair.
Yeah, exactly. Melts into you. Yeah, your atoms fizz together, so you just fused.
They got a little droid from Star Wars that comes out and uses a laser, cuts you out.
Gets you out. Yeah.
Every time.
That's the scary thing is that there's more space between atoms than atoms themselves. So in theory, you could go so fast, right? Because there is an ability to go faster than the speed of light, but you have to warp space-time to do it.
Yes.
And it's all very theoretical. But do you know about this?
Hasn't it been proven with the gravitational waves?
Yeah. And so right now, it's like we're, in theory, want to build a device, like a hyperdrive. But it's like, you'd have to build it in space because it'd have to be so big.
Okay.
So it's like, there's no utility for it yet, but it's like, if we make that thing and put people on it and it somehow doesn't kill the people that are attached to it, we could go to another galaxy in like 10 minutes, you know?
It's a way to travel.
Not on Earth, but
maybe
because
I'm slightly impatient, or I just want to get to like different places in space. Like the idea of that, where you see in like any science fiction where they have warp or some version of that, where they can get
hyperdrive, space drive, slip drive, whatever.
Is it that, or you kind of go into cryo and
you just have to wait for 1,000 years?
A thousand years to get to place. Like, that's not exciting.
And plus, it's a waste of time. It's like, if there's business on another planet, the closest planet's like, for in real life, the closest habitable planet outside of our solar system is like 10,000 years away by physical travel, like as fast as we could go. It still takes 10,000 years. So it's like,
it's a long time.
Cryo sleep, but then like by the time you get there,
we would already be there,
like,
probably.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like you do that for business. Let's go as fast as possible. Okay. Freezes people and send them into space. And then 10,000 years. So it's like by the year 9,999, we make a warp drive and then are there. And then we get there and then the people show up and they're like, what took you guys so long? Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But
that's a good point. It'd be funny and kind of like a weird way. Like, if that actually happened. Like, they...
Well, it's like a tragic comedy, I guess.
Yeah.
For those people, all of my loved ones are dead. I chose to go on this mission. And you go, well, you didn't have to. Or I guess they still have to, but...
Would you... Yeah. If you were given the opportunity... Let me ask you. If you were given the opportunity to go to, like, be a space pioneer, would you take it? Have you thought about it?
I would if my girlfriend broke up with me. Absolutely.
Okay.
I would have nothing to live for. Right now, the only semblance of a life I'm holding on to is my girlfriend and my pursuit of what I'm doing, right? The books.
The books, yeah.
So
there you go. I guess you can write your books.
Write my books in space, yeah. There you go. So if I lose one of the two things, then I'm fine. Okay. I can still go on. But yeah, it's a good question. Hey, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Does everything happen for a reason, or is it all random?
I believe that there is cause and effect, but I do believe in even a spiritual sense, things happen for a reason. I think there is, how do you describe it? I guess there's, I think there is somewhat of not predestined, because I think we all have free will and living things.
It's about tackling those two ideas.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time there's just, it's contradictory whenever people are like, yes, destiny exists, but I still get to choose it. It's like, okay, so. Like, did future you decide your destiny or something? What about when the moment you die, you get to you become a celestial being and you choose the path of which your younger self takes?
That's actually what I was kind of getting to.
Really?
Because I was thinking, it's like maybe time and a certain, maybe you affect the past in the present can affect the your past in a weird way.
Maybe.
Or the future. I don't know if they're, I don't
mutually exclusive.
Maybe they, I don't know if it's just together. Linear. It might not just be linear. So I've thought about that, where maybe you, in a weird sense, as a celestial being, if you believe in that, like your soul or your spirit or whatever, maybe you choose what paths and what lives to live, like in a reincarnation state. I like that idea, because then you get to have multiple experiences and different lives to live.
Yeah. Well, one might say that we're all the same person. Not a person, but like a being. We're all the same being.
Right.
Because this is like a thought experiment, is that reincarnation exists, but it's not trapped by time. So it starts with, let's say, you, and you're born, and there's all these people everywhere, and you're a young soul because you're just born. You're like the start of this being. You're the first being.
Twinkle in my eye.
Yeah, exactly. And then you grow old, you die.
Right.
And then the second you die, your being is reincarnated into like a bird, and then you're a bird for like a year maybe, and then it dies.
Yeah.
And then you become a lady from in the 1980s, and then you grow old and die, and then you become a frog in the year 1500, and then you die after a few days, and then you become a bird from the 1800s, and then you become a little boy from like 3000 years ago, and then you become a boy, and it keeps going forever, and every single person is you.
That's so
you
cool.
Literally fill in the space all of time. We're all a reincarnation of one being, and the entire world is populated by one person, one being. Yeah,
you're just living at different
times. The spirit ball. You're a spirit ball in your chest. Yeah, and the second you die, because there's no memory, right?
No,
because the memory is stored in the brain.
Defeats the purpose of you.
No, but it's still the idea. It could still exist. It's still a spirit self.
I've never heard of that.
Maybe the second you die, you remember.
You remember, it's like, everything. All right, let's do something different.
And you go, time to reincarnate again. Well, maybe you don't get to choose the fact that you get reincarnated, but the second you die, you get that moment of just complete clarity, and you exist outside of time. And then you go back in, and you live as a frog for 3 months, and then you die. And then you keep doing it, and then you're a single-celled organism for a millisecond, and then you die, and then you become a multi-celled organism. Crazy. In prehistoric times, you become a dinosaur, and then you become a person, and then you become... And there's no... And then it's kind of random what time you appear at, but you become everything. You inhabit the entire world all of its history.
That's a cool idea. I wonder, like, maybe that's what God is.
God is us, because God is the single being that is reincarnated into everybody over all of time.
And God is just learning different lives and different things.
Until eventually it's this old soul. That's just, and just lives and dies the same as us, but it's this person. Yeah. That could be Buddha or Jesus. Every historical person that had spiritual significance or seemed wiser than their years, any philosopher or whatever, they could have been one of the older souls.
They could have been.
That is all of us. Yeah. That's the same soul. So anybody who's an old soul is just one of the older ones.
You're like guiding yourself. Because
time's not relevant. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
That's cool.
We're constantly teaching ourselves. Yeah. We're all the same person.
That's kind of one idea. Mind melter there.
Yeah. And I don't think I've ever mentioned that theory on the podcast. Yeah. That's someone. Yeah.
Some good stuff in there.
So be nice to your neighbor, because they're you.
They're you.
God damn it.
You're living a different life.
Literally, there's a serial killer version of you. There's there's a Gandhi version of you. There's like a racist version of you. You're everyone. So it's like you're an idiot for being so combative, you know?
Yeah, it actually kind of frees you from judging people. It's like, you know what?
You're me. Plus, think about
saves
it.
You from hate.
Whenever you look back at like old home videos of yourself as a kid or whatever, and you cringe because you're doing something super stupid or weird, it's like that's the same that you do to strangers that might do that.
Yes.
You're essentially a stranger to your past self, because you'll a lot of the time people look back and they go, oh, I can't believe I did that.
That's a good way of getting over that like
the idea of difference.
Yeah, like, you look at you, like it's like look you at know. Yourself. You cringe at your own self by doing something yeah. stupid.
Because I like to say, even though none of us are completely free from judging, right? Yes. It's clearly a mechanism of our brains because we're social creatures to judge others. But I try to do it as little as possible. Mm-hmm. And the easiest way to compartmentalize the idea of trying to just not judge anybody is when you look at the big picture of how we got here and where we came from. Like evolution-wise and everything, right? And the fact that our entire lives are but a mere speck on the history of the earth and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And everything we've done, all the conflicts, all the wars, like how meaningless it all is in the end because it means nothing. It's like 100 years later, everybody kind of forgets what you did. It's yeah. like, sure, we wrote it in the history books that that's happened, but it's like, whether or not someone else won, life would have kept going, right? It's like the worst case scenario, still 1,000 years from now, essentially means nothing. Because it's like the only thing that would actually matter is if all life got wiped out. But even then, it would right. keep going, but just there wouldn't be any more human life, I guess. Yeah, but it's like even if there was a nuclear holocaust, the Earth would eventually restabilize and create a habitable atmosphere, or single-celled organisms like tardigrades that survived, like, yes. next to a volcano under the ocean, they would start to evolve and become the new form of life that branches out.
Yeah,
so it's like
extremely hardy. Yeah,
it's hard to be judgy when you look at life that way, because it's like
it's perspective,
it's,
right?
You're just
that's
lucky to be alive. It's like yeah. my thing is like, oh, I didn't die today. That's great, you know? Yeah.
That's a good attitude, because
I'll still have moments of like, not road rage, but annoyance, yes. Shortened annoyance that I can like get over. Like it's hard for me to hold on to a grudge.
Yeah, I've learned to let things go and just like become more accepting, and I try to practice that more and more. So I just read books about, you know, self development and all that stuff, and just listen to people who are wiser than I and see what I can take from it. And you know, you can't put so much pressure on yourself and other people by judging like that, and it's not going to matter. And at, like down the road, it won't matter that much, like what you were caring about, like probably overcritical about something that didn't really matter at the end of the day.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thread to stand on too, because it's like obviously it's important to care, because if you don't care, you'll just end up homeless.
Yes,
but it's like you shouldn't care to when you begin to stress about it. Care just enough where the stress is useful, or whatever you have to do, like the effort you have to put in, it's like have that stress be just useful enough that it's worth it. Once it starts to get into like obsessiveness or anything like that, it stops
being useful.
Yeah. And the second it's not useful, it's a waste of your time and a waste of your efforts, and it's futile.
Exactly.
So it's about threading the needle of futility, I guess.
Exactly. There you
go. Like putting
you
the effort, but not too much.
You gotta judge to a point. Yeah, like you said, like you gotta be able to discern what is useful, what it isn't. And not even add like what is, you can even, I guess you wanna go by good or bad, but good or bad is even adding a layer of judgment. Like this is
Or at least
depending.
Being happy. It's like, obviously, you'll be in situations that make you unhappy. Like, a lot of the time with work, that's the situation, is most people aren't necessarily happy, but they're doing it because they know it'll be worth it to their overall happiness, because holding a career gives you stability, because now you can buy a house and you can buy groceries and all this stuff, right? So it's like,
you're doing it for a reason. Like,
yeah, but then if your work, you're miserable every day, then it's not worth it. It's like, there are alternatives to this job, so it's like, it's not worth the amount of unhappiness you're getting. You're not getting the same amount of happiness back in, so it's like, It's happiness is the most important thing, but not to a point where it's completely short-sighted and you'll end up ruining your life. It's like,
you just get
be able to be unhappy for a moment to give yourself overall longer happiness over time.
Right. It's kind of like you sacrifice a little bit of now for a better tomorrow or whatever.
Proper investments, if you will. Exactly. Yeah. I wasn't much of a banker, but I can, I can imagine. Yeah. The investment strategy is probably the best way to go.
Yes.
So I'm sure by now it's obvious to the audience, but it's always worth asking. Do you consider yourself an optimist, a realist, or a pessimist in your everyday life? Do you consider yourself,
I've become more of an optimist and a realist. I used to be more of a pessimist to a degree.
Like back when you were more passive,
I was more pessimistic, but certain things, though.
Yeah.
I guess it was more self-doubt for my own part. I was more pessimistic about myself. So I'd like kind of go and kind of unpackage that and learn about myself. So I was like, okay. And then I figured out what the reasons were. And I kind of just largely let it go and
become
more realistic and optimistic. I think I straddle both. I try to do both.
Yeah.
Because being realistic is great, but then, because, you know, there is consequences and it's not always going to be sunshines and rainbows.
Yeah.
Every day. Yeah. Sunshine and rainbows. But I like being optimistic, like having, you know, putting a positive slant on things, even if it's kind of negative. Like, it's like, all right, what's positive I can get out of this?
What can be gleaned, I guess.
Yeah.
Make the best out of any situation.
Exactly. And I try to incorporate that. And I'm learning to do that. It's an ongoing process. So as of now, I think I'm confident in saying an optimist and a realist.
Nice. That's great. Hey, well, you know, obviously same here, right? Yeah. I just feel lucky to be alive here.
Yeah.
But yeah, very nice. Now, we don't have to answer every question. And I've said that an exhausting amount of times in the podcast. But there's certain ones that I want to bounce off you to kind of see what gauges with you. So one I have in mind is, what do you consider beautiful? And I use that term vaguely on purpose. It used to be like, what's your favorite form of art? Because then some people would say like paintings or sculptures or stuff. But it's like, there's also music and nature. There's so many different forms you can think of. So instead I just say, what do you find beautiful?
Like that question. Yeah. I like that one. What I find beautiful is, I guess, anything that can evoke a certain sense of either wonder, even like a sense of wonder or awe. I find those things tend to be beautiful. And it might not just be just like everything is like formed perfectly. It can even just be kind of like a mess. But if you can look at it in a certain way, you can see there's some kind of beauty to it.
Yeah.
Like there is beauty and chaos at the same time.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So, like, sure, like the classical, like Renaissance statues, like say, like, those things are the paintings, they're beautiful to me.
Yeah.
But I can also see like more modern art, abstract art. I can see that being beautiful. Like all, you know, and a lot of people, I would imagine, don't like that depending on their level of, you know, just what they're open to or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. That's usually the limit to most people. Right.
Yeah.
And there are some people that are more like, have more an appreciation towards music than visual art, or, you know, they like movies and TV compared to like paintings and other forms of still art, that kind of thing.
Right.
And then other people love nature. For me, I try to like everything, right? Because I'm like, I only get to live once. I want to try to experience everything to the best of its ability, right?
Yeah.
And one thing that always captures me, and it's one of the things that I don't spend enough time around or with, but it's like certain forms of nature, like smaller things are really beautiful whenever you can find like a tiny like plant growing like in the middle of something that seems like inhospitable,
right?
Or just in the middle of like a mud patch or something, you could find a flower, like that kind of thing. Or but most of the times, usually anything that's bigger than life, it always captures me in awe. If it's like a thunderstorm or just like a giant cloud just coming in, like anything that's just bigger than me, or if I can start to see like comets and stuff when like there was no like news about them coming or anything, like anytime you catch anything like that, it usually always gets me.
No, and, like, I like the big, like the big stuff, like you're saying, like looking at the
anything
night sky.
That could just kill me. You know, it's just anything so large that I'm just like, just completely insignificant towards.
Yeah, even like, honestly, I still look at the stars in the city, even though we don't have very many. Every time I go out, it's night, and if it's a clear sky, I'll look up for a few minutes and like kind of take it in. It's like still beautiful. It's just you're like surrounded in this like gallery in a way. We're like in this
literally
gallery in this void kind of deal. It's like when you start thinking about that, it starts kind of like, whoa.
Well, it's chilling. It's literally there's more black than there are stars, like tiny points of light. And the stars, most of them are bigger than our sun. Our sun's like a medium-sized star. So it's so insane to think about that. It's like entire like worlds are out there. Like every single one of those tiny dots, and there's like so many of them, probably all have planets like ours on them. And
that's
like, it's insane to think about. And most is black when you look up. Yeah. So, and black is just vacuum. It's just voidness.
It's just void.
There's no atoms. It's just nothing. Like, it's so weird to think about where there can just be nothing.
And we're living this.
And it's insane.
It's like almost more we're just sitting stranger with than a fiction in a weird
way. Yeah, because all we have is this thin thing keeping us alive. Yeah, it's like if anything broke it, we'd be fucked.
Like I remember hearing that the Earth's crust, the hard part that we live on, is like about it's like the peel of an apple. Like it's very thin.
You know? Yeah, like it's so thin, it's insane. Yeah, like most people like try to like show how the. Or at least I remember this from school where it's like they would take an orange peel
right.
and like peel it all in one go and then like spread it out and be like, this is like the earth. Like try to imagine making a flat version of this. And it's like, I always remember that being kind of neat, but it's like, yeah, when you think of the layer, like what's even thinner than than apple skin? I don't know. That's probably the best interpretation, but it's even thinner than that in reality, right? Because it's like apple skin is still at least like half of a millimeter, but it's like the earth, it's like 0.00001 is the actual surface, right? Because it's just so big, like...
I think it's like 20 kilometers is how thick the crust is. And then to the core, it's like 4,000 kilometers or something ridiculous.
Yeah. It's nuts, though. It's just, it's another one of those things where it's like, there was that movie Core where it's like, it was sci-fi where it's like, oh no, like the whole earth is going to explode. I forget what was happening where they're like, the end of the world's happening. I forget, or what was it?
Yeah, they go to the center.
Oh yeah, the magnetism. I'm trying to think of what the conflict was. They're like, the magnetism's failing.
Yeah.
It's and so the solar flare is going to kill us all unless we can re-spark the core. So like we have to build a machine that drops atom bombs into the core and then that's blows it up so it keeps it spinning. Yeah. Imagine, but it's like
that's sure. like the it's kind of like the solution. It'd be like the solution of just like humans just hit it harder.
Just smack it. Yeah, smack just like grab harder. A hammer to the TV like, and get it going again.
Yeah. Now we can get a sledgehammer.
Just smack it. Yeah. Cuz I think that was the same concept as the movie Sunshine, where it's like the sun is failing, it's going out and we're all gonna die, so we have one crew that we're gonna send out to try and stop it, and it's just Chris Evans and a bunch of other people, and they just it was the same thing where it's like a bomb.
Yeah, they just bombed the sun.
Great soundtrack. That's where like that iconic Hollywood soundtrack came from,
like that very like
just that epic like burn. Yeah, the atmospheric music. Yeah,
fucking Inception horn. I think Inception had a lot
of... Inception had its own thing. Yeah, Sunshine, it's like, I can't say it. It's one of those ones, one of that music where you can't really do it. But yeah, if you look up Sunshine OST, yeah, you can get that.
Actually, I'll say this real quick. I remember listening to, it was a geologist or something, and he was talking about his theory is that he believes that there is... civilization goes back tens of thousands of years even, and then I don't know if you heard about that stuff.
I'm pretty sure it does. Yeah, like we have like we got records going back like 60,000, right?
Mm-hmm. But like actual like what they would consider like think recorded. About ancient Egypt or Sumerian or that kind of level of
I think Mesopotamia,
and that's like only I think 5,000 years ago or 6,000. But this guy is thinking, this guy is arguing that like super even the Sphinx is actually at least 10,000 years old because of the erosion and all that. But he was saying that there's like this cataclysm that happened then that kind of ended the ice age, and it was based because the sun, his idea is that there was a massive solar storm from the sun.
Yeah.
And it basically would have been like, instead of rain falling, it would be just lightning, just electricity hitting the surface of the
earth. Yeah.
So people just lived underground, basically.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, I can believe that.
It's just like, oh my God, that could happen.
Scary. It's like, that could reset history, for sure.
Just a bit.
I think we made it too far at this point now, where we've invented the conductor for electricity, so I don't think we have to worry about losing all of humanity, but
no.
The majority will be gone for sure.
I think we're still vulnerable to a large degree.
Like most of us would still die. I'm just thinking, I'm sure we got bunkers.
Way back.
Like the world leaders or whatever would still be fine. Yeah, so it's like, it would just be, all business would be fucked. So that'd be the hardest thing.
Where
it's like, we'd have to restart our system all over again, you know?
Yeah.
It's like we made it this far, we've become global, even though conflict's constantly happening.
We're not a united planet. Do you ever think we'll become a united, like a united Earth?
Is that an option? I mean, choose it.
Yeah. Do you think that would ever happen in the future? I think that's...
Make an EU, but for the Earth.
The Earth. Yeah. Like, everyone is actually one, like, kind of...
One universal system.
Political entity.
I feel like that's the concept of Star Trek.
Yes.
They have credits instead of money, because the whole Earth is just one money system, instead of it being separate.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like... Like, yeah, like, what is the end game? Of course it's going to happen. It's nationalism can't continue.
Yeah.
1,000 years from now, when we've inhabited 20 other planets, like, we're still going to... Brexit's still going to be getting delayed. And
Mars is leaving the Union.
Yeah, exactly. That would actually be scary. That's like what most people say. We're going to get Martian colonies, like of humans, and it's going to start a war.
That's what the premise of, I don't know if you've seen Battle Angel Alita, or like the manga.
I haven't read the manga, but I've seen the movie,
Yeah, I saw the movie. It was decent, good action, whatever.
But oh my god, yo, that CGI chick is so hot, man. Oh, anime eyes, oh my god.
They're like,
eyes, oh fuck.
They're like,
yeah. What is that called? Yeah, I was about to say infanticide. It's not that.
No, it's like neo.
But just that form of attraction is the same thing that Ariana Grande does, where you kind of look like a girl instead of an adult woman.
I guess it's
fan. It's something. It's some infantile name.
No, it's not. It's just you're attracted. It's like attracted infanticide, to you, maybe.
Yeah, because it's like you're
so
not
it's
a
more pure.
You're not a pedophile, but it's like
because she's young.
You're attracted to like innocent looking shit.
Innocent, yeah. Because
everyone loves anime and anime girl eyes, and there's weeboos all across Canada and America. It's clearly because there's a thing to it, you know. It's just sexualizing. It's the same reason like American cartoons have chicks with like boobs out to here and then waist.
Yeah.
And it's like you would never survive looking
you
like
need,
that.
Like a thing, a telescope, whatever you call those, like submarines use to look over her boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like it's just because it's like our core programming is, it's like certain things are just made to set us off. Yeah,
yeah, they're built in for
that's
sure.
Alita, man, James Cameron clearly has a thing for it because it's like Avatar.
They're
just
big,
human
big
looking
eyes.
Blue people with big eyes. Yeah,
giant
and then he produced Alita and she's got big eyes.
Yeah,
so it's like let's see what Avatar 2 is. It's just Alita comes to their planet.
I think it's 21.
Is it? And then they're all coming out in a row. That's one of the things I can't believe because that's the same thing that they were saying with Mad Max back in 2015.
Right.
They were like, yeah, it's been like 20 years, but now we made the next one. And everyone's like, woo! And they're like, and we're going to make a sequel to this one. And we're going to make four more. And they're going to come out every year. And then it's been
happened.
5 years, so that didn't happen.
I don't know if they understand years or they're just...
Maybe they're confused,
Confused, like, what is time?
Yeah, maybe they're tracking their years by Saturn's year.
By Saturn's.
Yeah. Which is like every 17 years or something is 1 year. It's
a
rotation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Okay, so... We derailed in a good way, but I got some more questions for you.
Yeah,
if you're down.
Hit me.
What's your biggest fear?
Ooh, biggest
if
fear.
If you have one.
Oh, I have fears.
Yeah.
That's a good damn question. I don't know.
An electrical storm, maybe?
Electrical storm.
Yeah, a solar flare killing us. Yeah.
Ooh.
Do you have bigger than the world ones, or do you have smaller ones? Like, what gets you the most? If you're watching a scary movie,
like obviously death is scary and all that, but
classic,
I can accept that because I can accept doing dangerous stuff if I have to. I thought about that.
You thought, wait, just dying
as
an option? Whatever I got to do, you know. Sometimes someone's got
to
die.
Yeah, sometimes it's like if you got to do something, say you're in a situation. I like to do thought experiments sometimes.
Yeah.
Like if I'm in this situation, what would I do? And if I had to die, like. In this situation, like,
would you be willing to, depending on?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I have to sacrifice myself or whatever. It's like,
I got one. If you and your wife and like four other people are trapped on an island because like shipwrecked or whatever, right? And no one's coming, and there's no food on the island. Everyone's starving to death, and it's just a matter of time. Like, no one's coming. Would you sacrifice yourself to be eaten?
Hmm.
Or. Like, how about there are four other people have all ganged together?
Right.
So now it's like, would you, like, say, okay, choose me, or would you have them choose your wife, and then would you eat your wife?
Because we have no other options.
There's no food.
There's no food.
Just everyone die, or that's going to happen. And also you're being bullied into it, because the four other people have all ganged up on just you and your wife. So it's like, it's going to happen anyway, so do you want it to be you or your wife? And let's say she's too tired to talk, so she's just sitting there. What do you do?
Do you die or do you have kids, right?
No.
Okay.
In this thought experiment.
Okay, so I would...
You could find someone else.
Let's get more creative.
Yeah, sure.
I would like to say I would save myself. I think so.
Yeah. Throw the wife out of the bus. Damn. I guess it depends.
No, like myself.
Oh, to be eaten. Yeah.
Throw the wife.
Yeah. There was a riddle about that. Albatross soup. And the riddle, I forget how it went, but the conclusion was, like, this guy walks into a store after coming ashore. He orders the albatross soup. He takes a sip. He, like, loads his clip and shoots himself in the head. Why did he kill himself? And it had something to do with, because him stepping off the boat was a rescue boat, and he... Yeah, and it's one of those riddles where it's like you couldn't figure it out unless you started asking questions, but like apparently his wife died, and people on the island gave him soup, and they said it was albatross soup. And then he had the albatross soup, and it tasted different, so he knew it wasn't albatross soup that he had on the island, it was his wife. Yeah. And so he killed himself because he ate his wife without realizing it. Spooky stuff.
That's spooky. I guess I wouldn't if I was dead and then they wanted to eat me, it's like, yeah, go for it. I'm not using my
Because I don't care. Yeah, you're dead. Who gives a shit? Yeah.
Yeah, just keep on living.
That's one of those things where it's like, as far as the paranoia of trying to live forever, because obviously we all want to live. It's a survival instinct in us. So it's like, and I kind of incorporated it into my books where it's like, if there was a way for science to find out that if you preserved the brain or something, there's a higher chance of you continuing to live on.
Right.
That's one of the things I think about, where it's like, I would donate myself to science, but not my brain. Where it's like, you could pick apart my body, but then give my brain just in case. Not even my head. It's like, you can get rid of everything else.
Just the brain.
Just the brain. Put it in a jar or something.
Yeah.
And then...
get you a new body.
300 years from now, yeah, put me in a robot body, or upload my brain onto like a computer or something.
Yeah, you'd
like
probably, upstream I'd imagine, I would believe that you'd be alive. You should watch, I don't know if you watch Altered Carbon, but or read the books.
No, I didn't read the books, no.
The show, yeah, they basically get new bodies and all that stuff, they call them skins.
They keep going forever, they just keep going.
I was horrified by like how they treat their bodies.
True.
They're so disposable.
Cut your arm off, who gives a shit, and just keep going, yeah.
It's scary stuff. I thought about the question of like, would I want to live forever? And at one point I was like, instinct was like, yeah, I want to live forever. But then I think that you would have to constantly find purpose, I would imagine, for myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I would start losing it or something.
Yeah, because that's one of the things is that life is always in motion and change is always happening.
Yeah.
There's never a conclusion. It's one of the greatest lies told to us by Hollywood and stories and stuff is that there's a character arc, when in life, it doesn't end. Life just keeps going.
Just keeps going.
It's like, that's why serial TV shows are like the best forms of actual truth in storytelling, because shows that are good, like Friends or Seinfeld or like The Simpsons or like one of those shows that just hasn't ended, like it just keeps going and going for like 10 years. Yeah. It's because they want viewers to keep coming, so they're doing it for money. But what they don't realize they're doing is they're telling a realistic story of just characters that have events happen to them that are like entertaining enough to just keep going, and then they just next episode and the next episode, and it's like, that's life, it keeps going.
Like every day is pretty much super similar to the next day, and then you have these moments of like intensity.
You have micro stories that in your life that happen.
Because life is kind of like a story, but it's not. Yeah. It's more. It's a long story.
It's more episodic. Yeah.
Episodic. Yes.
And there's good moments and bad moments, and like that's one of the things for me is I remember when I was, I think 20, I had this cathartic experience. I went through this thing, and when it ended, I remember feeling like I'm done, like I did it, like I could just die now, and like it didn't happen, life kept going, and so here I am. But it's like, I remember when I was 20, I was like, I did it, like I did all that I kind of wanted to do. It's like, I can obviously do more, like I haven't had kids yet and I haven't owned my own place, but I remember the feeling. It was this emotional feeling. It's like,
I made it, I've arrived.
I had my first love and she broke up with me. I started to get into the entertainment industry, which is what I've always like wanted to do, but kind of like I started the path a bit, and it was through a relative, and then she fired me, and like shortly after she was fired. So it was one of those things where I felt like it was so unjustified, her firing me, and then like I took shrooms or something too.
Oh, yeah.
Like the night that she fired me, because she did it over the phone. So you can only imagine what happens when you hear bad news, like right when you're going on a trip. And, I just experienced like complete hell. And then I came out of it and like I was crying and stuff. And then after, I felt so good and like...
the release.
And just that emotional feeling of just like letting go and like being finished.
Yeah.
And then when it was all done, I remember I was like standing outside like in my backyard and it was sunny because like it was right in the middle of summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like I was done. Like I was like, yeah, like I'm good. It's like I felt like I've done everything I've planned to do. And then weirdly enough, that's kind of, that was like at the beginning of my alcoholism that like slowly ramped up to the point where I like eventually finally had like an emotional breakdown, and then now I've been sober for over a year, so it's like,
I didn't know you drank that much.
Like, well, nobody would, because I was really good at hiding it. Like, I drank alone. Like, you know, I would always have supplies, like, underneath stuff in my room. Not this room, the other room I had. It was bigger. And, yeah, and I just, I was a functioning alcoholic, and nobody knew, and I would have kept going forever.
That's good,
man. But I had a breakdown, so luckily, luckily I had a really shitty night, and then came out of it, and now I'm not drinking, so it's good.
I didn't
kill anyone in the process, so
it's good. I'm definitely a binge drinker. I never like drink throughout the week or anything. I've had the urge where I just like want a beer or you know, a drink.
But that's different than wanting to get drunk, because that's my thing. It's like, I forget what my highest score was, but I'm gonna think it was in the 20s of days in a row getting drunk, where it's like almost an entire month where I got drunk every single day. And then the only thing that would break that is a situation, like I'm with family or something, or I'm on a trip, so it's like I can't drink. And then otherwise, it's like as soon as I get back, I do it again. So it's not like there's a break after. It's like one day, and then I drink again, and then off day, and then drink again, and then drink 3 days in a row, and then not drink. It was always more drinking than not drinking.
Wow.
And I did that for 6 years,
Wow, good for you.
I lost all ties of relationships with people, and then eventually,
Doing good now, though. That's
I mean, the funny thing is, I got this podcast, but I didn't start it after I became sober. I started it while I was still like in the worst of it, essentially. So it's kind of funny. And then now I'm still doing it. It's one of those things that I always thought I was afraid. Once I got sober, I would like lose the things that I made excuses for myself in my head that I had.
Because
I was like, oh, what if I start getting depressed again now that I'm not drinking? Because I remember being like really depressed when I was younger, and then when I started drinking, that just went away. So I was like, what if I start getting depressed again? Luckily, that didn't happen. And then one of them was like, what if I lose my creativity? Because I started writing when I was drinking, but I'm still writing. It's like I'm almost finished my fourth book.
Yeah, there you go.
So nothing bad happened.
I think drinking would actually make your creativity
make it harder. Well, it loosens your inhibition when you're drunk.
Yeah.
So creativity wise, it's like you can come up with more ideas, but then you can't formulate them well, because you're like, oh, and then this happened, logic. And then like this, you're just completely fucking wasted. I get the idea, but nothing else. But anyway, it's just funny how life turns around sometimes, you know, where you can have like experiences that feel like they solidify you and are essentially you and your story, but then you keep going and you can have worldviews and different viewpoints and stuff. It's very interesting how life comes around. But what about you? Over the past 6 years, how has your life been? Like, you graduated high school.
Yes.
That happened.
You know, I took like half a semester at high school, actually, after, like... And then I went to university the following fall.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't even know if I really wanted to go. I just kind of did it to do something.
Because it's there. Because you're supposed to.
And I had that, like, I had the feelings that, you know what, I probably shouldn't be here, but I'll just ride with it.
Yeah.
So I did that, and I drank so much more once I got there, and...
it's there for.
I find it makes me feel more depressed when I drink. That's what, like,
It is a depressant, chemically speaking.
And I find that, like, I'm probably more sensitive than I think I am to it.
Yeah.
But I do like it. I can tell, like, I like it a little too much.
It's comforting.
And so it's like I drink and stuff, and I gained a lot of weight and all that stuff.
How much have you weighed?
I think I entered like 160, went up to like 190 in about maybe 185, like 25 pounds in like 3 months.
All the junk food
there, because lived right beside the calf.
Damn, so education ruined your life.
My health dropped as soon as I started learning.
The freshman 15, more like the freshman 25.
So I did that. It was, I entered with going into history, and I did it for like 2 years. I switched over to poli sci. Because I was taking a lot of poli sci anyway. So I was like, all right, maybe I can get into law school or something, and be a lawyer or whatever. Something along those lines. And then I was like, near the end, I was like, I don't even know what I want.
I would never want to be a lawyer, but it's just a lot of paperwork.
I talked to my dad. He's a lawyer, so
Okay, so you do have, like, a thing.
And so I talked to him. He said, it's a lot of paperwork. It's like, God damn it.
wait, I don't want that.
No. Yeah. I was like, all right, what else do I want? I started thinking about my childhood. It's like, I like science. I still like science a lot, learning about just exploration and just discovering new things, ideas, concepts, you know, actual things in the world.
Kind of thing.
I thought that was cool. But I also like, I care about people and society. So I've always wanted to help people.
Yeah, which would be the politics side.
Politics. That's why, and I maybe I'll keep that avenue open. I try to keep an open mind. You know, be calm about it. So you know, different things will come in. But so I kind of just floated around, and I don't like not having.
A solid path, I guess. Yeah. Same here. I was completely lost for all the time that I was drinking. I was just doing labor jobs. I would work a labor job for a year and then quit, and then work another one and then quit.
I would go through three jobs a year because I would start getting, I get kind of bored of it and just switch out.
You would learn it and then you have nothing left to do.
I'm out of here. And then I'd start making excuses like, I don't actually like working here at this place. And I start like finding reasons instead of just being honest. Like, I'm actually just looking. I don't have a plan for my life. I don't have, I don't want to be too, you got to be flexible because of different things, but I don't, I'm not pursuing, you know.
Any of the fields. Whatever you're in. Yeah.
I would kind of look around and say, it's like, I got to do more schooling, this or that.
So I guess maybe
I was looking at such a large picture that I didn't break it down, and that kind of intimidated me looking at it. It's going to take forever to get to do this and that and that. So there's a saying, if you want to eat an elephant, you got to do it one bite at a time.
Yeah, that's true, actually. that's a good point.
You can't just, if you look at the whole thing, it's daunting, but you keep the goal in mind, but start with just one step foot in the front of
one the little head. Scoop of that elephant,
So I became more depressed for a while, like, probably through university. University was tough. I would say, like, actually high school was pretty tough. I was like fairly depressed, and I would hide it pretty well. I was very good with it. I think I was pretty good, but it would make me inhibited. I guess that'd be the word. And I think naturally I'm not an inhibited person. I can get really energized, and I just like I have a level of spontaneity. And it's not to the point of just being impulsive. But I like just going and doing stuff.
Yeah, you got a spirit to yourself, but you can, I guess there's also the ability of suffocating yourself a bit,
And I started smoking weed in high school. I tried a puff when I was in 12 years old, and then I didn't touch it, and I felt so guilty. Came home, my mom's like, what's wrong? And I guess I was maybe looking guilty. Go to the washroom.
It's like the 70s show, the walls moving behind her. That's funny.
I just used those as they were fun, going around, and fun times on it, but at the same time I knew that I was doing it too much and drinking too much and smoking too much and all that stuff,
and none of it's sustainable. So it's not helping.
It's putting a band-aid on something that you don't need to put a band-aid on. Just gotta deal with it and see it for what it is. And that's what I've been last 3 years is when I started focusing really on it. But I knew when I was like 21, I was like, I gotta change this. I gotta really change my trajectory and how I feel about life and all that stuff. Cause I was a kid, I was like, there was so much like excitement and wonder about life and like what I could do and what I could see and experience and all that.
So many more possibilities. It's only once you become an adult that you limit yourself almost, right? Just mentally put hurdles. Because obviously, if you want to be a doctor, you need an education. But it's 100%. With politics, all you have to do is just go to your city's website and just look for any jobs they have, get one, and then network naturally. Like, just wait for other job openings that might be higher up, and then keep yourself in the loop of your city, and then that's how politics works, so that you just work up the ladder, and then eventually you could be the mayor, you know?
Exactly. Like,
nothing's stopping you as long as you want to do it. Or mostly war, that's usually the easiest thing to get, and then from there you can try to apply to be mayor. But it's interesting, because politics is kind of similar to the entertainment industry that I'm going for, right? It's like, it's a networking thing. It's like, obviously education helps. It legitimizes you more if you're going for bigger scale things. But if you're just trying to live your life and you enjoy that specific field, it's like you start with something low level and then get to know people and then slowly work your way up. And then
That's how a lot of jobs function like that, but yeah. That job, it's not, yeah, it's about networking and getting people behind, following, being able to, like, believe in you and follow you and opportunities. Yeah. I'm still open to that, but I feel like right now I want to travel. I've been having an itch to travel the last few
years. Oh, dude, if you got an itch, yeah. I've only had it once and I, like, instantly scratched it. I was like, fuck. Because I wasn't dating anyone at the time.
Yeah.
And I was just working as a shoe salesman. And I was like, I'm from Belgium. I want to go to Belgium. I was like, I've never been there. So I just went there and I didn't have to pay for anything because I have an entire family there.
Oh, shit.
A bunch of, it wasn't Van Landscoots, but it was my grandma, so married to my grandpa. So I think they're the Couteaus. But yeah, they're all over Belgium and there's like one in Germany. So I went there. And
nice. You can just hop around Europe that way too.
And never have to pay for a hostel or anything. Yeah. That's so it was neat. Yeah. But yeah, if you got an itch, scratch it. That's what I say. Yeah.
I scratched it 2 years ago. I just decided to go. It was in Canada.
And, no, still, like where? The Rockies? Or did you go out east?
This is Vancouver.
Oh, Vancouver? Oh, wow. All the way. Wow.
I was like, I got to take some time off work. Go book this flight. All right, going.
Nice.
Did that. It was fun. Just went by myself. I thought, I was like, yeah, this is going to be interesting. I'm going to be by myself. And the first day, I was kind of like, oh man, by myself, I don't know anybody for a thousand miles around.
Literally, yeah.
kind of deal. So I was like, all right. And then, you know, it wasn't that bad because people speak English and it's easy.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point, yeah. You're not going to get lost. You go, no. Excuse-moi, and they go, yeah, what do you want?
Exactly. And that was good. I got to go somewhere new soon.
Do the next trip. Go to New Zealand or something, or Hawaii. Like, try to go, you know,
somewhere
to an
very
island,
different.
An island. Yeah. Actually, don't go to New Zealand now.
It's
covered in
fire.
Smoke. Yeah, because the wind pushed it onto New Zealand, actually. So
yeah.
You don't want to go there. But, give it a second or something. Try the Mediterranean or something.
Would be cool. Europe would be cool. Latin America, even parts of Africa.
Yeah, because, yeah,
Asia.
Like, I'm trying, what are some...
I want to see, like, some old structures. Like,
well, yeah, I was going to say something like a Colosseum or something natural, like certain mountains, right?
Yes.
Because I've seen the Rockies, but I haven't seen the Alps, even though I went from Belgium to Germany, which is where the Alps goes through, but I just never saw it. I was, you know. But the Alps would be nice. There's the mountain in Africa.
Kilimanjaro?
Kilimanjaro? And then the Mount Fuji in Japan.
Yeah, those are, like, volcanoes type.
Yeah.
I got this volcano app. It's really cool. It tells you when volcanoes start erupting.
What? They know that?
Yeah. And then,
Jesus.
Dude, and then there's a volcano.
They should tell the villagers they're at the bottom of the hill.
Yeah.
And that's,
no, just, it's, they it's don't better, have the better app, ratings this way.
Yeah, I guess. Jeez.
No, yeah, it's something.
It is what it is. So we've actually surpassed the allotted time.
Uh-oh.
So you're in trouble now. But it's been amazing talking to you. And
yes.
I want to do more because obviously there's so much more we could talk about. But as this episode comes to a close, are there any parting words of wisdom that you'd like to give to the audience? Is there anything that you can think of that always helps, like day-to-day life kind of thing? What's advice you'd impart on the world?
Be honest with yourself.
Yeah, yes. That's great, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the morals of The Shining, but the opposite.
Yeah.
It's all about forgetting, like, mistakes you've done in the past.
You're like
the opposite.
Like, there's you're the easiest person to fool, but you're also, you can't really fool yourself. Because I feel like a part of you knows if you're not being honest with yourself.
Yeah.
That's what I found. That's what I've been kind of focusing on in that kind of sense. And it serves me well. So.
Awesome. Well, thanks for the advice. Yeah.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me on.